Hi, this is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
You've seen what he did on Facebook, right? Listen, I'm gonna make a motherfucking emoji like this, look.
Quality Beyonce production.
BoxingVoice.com. All the guys want. I want what Mayweather got. I want what Mayweather got. You done bust your ass like Mayweather.
It was ball. Go fight.
My life has always been a fight. I sacrificed a lot to get to where I got to.
You don't think you're being overly critical to a guy that took a body shot and go down?
That's not pressure. That's just my style. My style is to dominate. I want to get the guy. I want to stop the guy. You know, my motto is man down.
BoxingVoice.com.
Why you mad?
I'm not saying the man can't take body shots. Wait for motherfucking Mark. We're going to take this shit to the limit.
BoxingVoice.com.
Yes, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, with another edition of the Boxer Voice Radio. And for all my West Coast people and everybody on that side of the world, really, it's good morning to you. Everyone here on the East, good afternoon. We're going to be going live today. You remember that number, 1-425-569-5241. A lot to talk about. Rumor mill is out. We have to debunk some of our very own rumors, right? We reported from some UK sources that the Chris Eubank, Reginald Quinlan card possibly was off. Quinlan was quoted saying that he wanted to pull out because of lack of promotion. Well, no more lack of promotion. I mean, just a few seconds ago, Chris Eubank Jr. says he's going to be on England's version of Good Morning Britain, which is Good Morning America over here. So it looks like promotion is full steam ahead. We have a date, Saturday 4th. Of February 2007. It's going to be in the Olympia in London. So we do have a fight for the IBO super middleweight strap. Chris Eubank Jr. is finally going to get his opportunity to be on pay-per-view. And guess what? It's only going to be $12.95, which is the equivalent of $15.75. Before we get into all that, I'm going to head on over to my co-host. And I also want to tell you, we got a special treat. We should be having Spencer Fearon from Sky Sports Toe to Toe Podcast, you know, the UK commentator over there. He's going to be coming on via Hangout here with us. So definitely tell a friend to tell a friend that the Boxing Voice has a great guest coming on. So without any further ado, let me head on over to
Boxing MD, what's going on, brother? I know you want to sit in on this.
We're going to head on over to a Sunshine State.
Boxing MD,
what's going on?
Is that a fair statement to make? You have to be honest with yourself.
Well, I'm glad this five-star box track fight is going to happen again. It's actually not five stars. It's two stars. But it's interesting because Matt, the editor, showed us a poster with Chris Eubank in this fight, and I'm glad that they have a poster showing his opponent, because the only poster I saw previously was, it was like Chris Eubank standing like forward, and then his father, like the ghost of his father, coming out of him. So, you know, I'm glad that this fight's going ahead, just because I want to see Chris Eubank Jr. move on with his career and take this fight and move on. A fight that's not supposed to be competitive, but for all the Eubank Jr. fans, he's getting the IBO super middleweight title. So, you know, it is what it is, but we don't have to pay for it, and I will be team stream on this one.
You're serious?
Let's talk to Matt, the editor over in California. What's going on, Matt?
Nothing much, guys. Just raining over here in LA, which is kind of unusual. And it's unusual that we're getting a fight announced 3 weeks in advance. I think this is kind of hurting the promotion in a sense. Obviously, the UK is the mecca of boxing right now, so if any market can handle only 3 weeks of promotion, I think it would be the UK. But like MD said, I thought the promotion for this fight was weird. Excuse me. And I thought that, you know, just Chris Eubank Sr. being around as usual continues to be a storyline in and of itself. And I'm glad that at least Reginald Quinlan is getting a fight, because he did want a big fight. And like MD said, I'm glad I'm not paying for it. sorry, UK guys. Sucks for you.
Well, I mean, you know, with 3 weeks out and a bit of doubt, we didn't know whether or not we would get this fight. And I'm already invested in Chris Eubank Jr. with all the social media, you know, I guess, interactions that he does. He's very vocal. He says the right things as a fighter. So I'm invested in him. Not so much his dad. You know, I know a lot of people have an issue with his dad. They feel like his dad is ruining his career and things like that. Not for me, you know. My generation is Eubank. I know him. And I'm kind of excited that he's going to be challenging for this IBO super middleweight title on February 4th. It's definitely a lightly regarded title, but there are champions. We've said it before here on the show, like Gennady Golovkin, Vladimir Klitschko, you know, others. I remember Vic Darchinian was very, you know, prone to having that IBO in almost every division that he fought in.
Ness, I want to bring something up really quickly before we move on. I think it's interesting just to compare the role that Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. plays to his son's career, who I think it's universally accepted that Chavez Sr. is a bigger name than even Eubank Sr. And how Eubank Sr., even in the poster itself, it says a star lives on. And eventually you have to, as a man,
become your own man.
100%. And, you know, living up to your own father is one thing, but I think a good father and a good person would let his son kind of have his own career, kind of like Chavez Sr. let his son, because I don't see Chavez Sr. Overstepping his son's career. You know what I mean? I see him kind of taking the back step and him benefiting off the name, which obviously I'm not telling Eubank Jr. not to benefit off his name, but there's a point that they got to say, hey, your son is the boxer and you are the legend. So let it be of that.
Yeah. Indeed. But the father is the father and he is the brand, you know, the son wouldn't have any legs to stand on without the father's name. But like I said, this fight's going to be happening February 4th. It's going to be $12.95 pounds, right? $12.95. Do you even say cents? How do you say that over there? I know it's pounds, right? But pounds. It translates to,
or quid,
$15.75 American. Now the card gets a little better because we get the heavyweight David Price. Now, not only do we get to see what Eubank is doing, I know that Reginald Quinlan isn't a guy that we know, but at least it's a guy in a division above. So we'll get to see how strong he is and how good he looks in a totally different division. But outside of that, David Price. Now David Price has a name in the UK. So it's impressive to see that the Eubanks can get David Price on this card with just 3 weeks. Think about that. You know, you guys right away are like, oh, David Price, he's been knocked out, this and the third. He's still a name. He's still going to sell those tickets over there. And this is ITV pay-per-view. So it's going to be big. And you know, I mean, Price is quoted saying that, you know, and I quote, to be able to do that on ITV channel, a broadcaster which has such rich history of the live sport, is a dream come true. So I'm feeling like this ITV deal is similar to how fighters were feeling in the United States with PBC. And once we get Spencer Fearon on, that's going to be one of my questions. Just how is it like free TV over there? Like, why does the Eubanks think that this is going to be so much bigger than any other pay-per-view? Not to mention then, if I'm correct, it's about 36% less than what Chris Eubank Sr. said the price would be originally.
True, but first off, his name's not Reginald, it's Ronald. I some people in the chat were correcting you, and Ness, and I think that's just right to get his name correct. But I think the reason why Chris Eubank Sr. thinks that this fight's so big is because he's delusional. He's egotistical. I mean, it is apparent that he is those two things. So, of course, he thinks that his brand and his son's brand is so big that can carry a pay-per-view on its own against a nobody, and the co-main being David Price versus a nobody. So I don't know. I think there is a egotistical bent to it more than a reasonable bent to it.
Yo, you're always negative. I'm gonna
be Christian Hammer's on a nobody. He beat Eric.
Sorry, not Christian. He's not nobody. But I just think that the fights are not elite. Can we agree on that? Both bouts are not elite. Both bouts aren't pay-per-view worthy.
We're talking about $15 for two world-class names.
But in not world-class bouts.
Well, David Price, see, this is what I'm saying. I thought you, the hipster, would be a little bit more excited for this fight. This is a step in the right direction for David Price. Like, Hammer's coming
up. No, it is. It is. I think that...
And, you know, it's funny because Temper was heavily touted by hardcores or hipsters in the heavyweight division. Then he got popped for some steroids. You can check that for me, producer, to get the facts. And after that, I believe that the fight the Hammer had with Temper, he was already obviously being tested, right? But
yeah, that's going to be the argument. That's going to be the argument that he, when he knocked out David Price, he was on the shit. And when they fought for the second time, which was a close fight, that he wasn't on it. So there's a different fighter. So, you know,
But it's Hamer that beat Temper.
That's what I'm saying. So the reason that, okay, so how, you know, they could bring up the fact that that Christian, that's what David Price is going to probably argue from his perspective, right?
Well, David Price really doesn't have a leg to argue because I think at this point, Christian Hamer might be the best opponent that David, like if David Price wins, Hammer might be his best opponent because who has David Price beat? Well,
and if we remember the last time we saw David Price fight, it was against some guy that he essentially looked like a guy who gets off work, probably pounded a six pack and just hits the bench press. Like it wasn't he, the guy who he faced was not a world level boxer, and he shouldn't have been in the ring with him. So for sure, this is a step up because after being knocked out by Temper, he hasn't fought in literally a guy with a pulse. He's fought a guy who was 9-2, and he fought a guy who was 22-30, which was his last opponent in Germany. So this is more than a step up. This is a leap up from his last competition. After
who's Christian Hammer's best win though? Kevin Johnson?
Temper.
Temper? You think Temper's?
Of course.
He's okay. A good opponent.
And he
Temper's not a bad opponent. I've only seen Temper in those two bouts.
And he has really good experience because he's been in there with Tyson Fury and he's been in there with Maurice Vaught, two large heavyweights. This is a good fight. I'm telling you, this is a good fight. I mean, if you're negative, you're negative. I only watch boxing, so the more boxing, the better. And this has become a decent card. Like, I'm Tiger streaming, so whatever. I live over here. I'm going to get it free regardless.
It's fair to say that Christian Hammer is European level, but – what is David Price? That's why it's not a bad fight.
Yeah, he's European level. It's competitive because they're both on relatively the same level.
I wouldn't say that Hammer is European level because, yes, he's lost to both Maurice Vaught and Tyson Fury, but that makes him at least world level. Like, not that he's winning. I mean, if you take the win to the contender over Temper, then, yeah, but he's got to be world level. He's got to be. He's been in there with two world-class heavyweights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I hear you. But I think a lot of people, I don't know if they're going to be spending money, but I mean, one of the reasons to watch this fight is to see if David Price could not get knocked out, which I guess adds an element of intrigue because David Price has some skill. He does have some skill. He just has no chin and he's not great at defense, which is very dangerous at the heavyweight level. So if you're getting knocked out by his level of competition, it makes it at least exciting because you know he's either going to win or get knocked out. So it does make the fight card better. And I don't really feel bad for the UK guys that they have to pay for these types of fights because literally five or six of their pay-per-views add up to one of ours. So, you know, at least they know the market value of their fights. And for us, we're never going back. We'll never be seeing fights cheaper than the standard $70.
So now, except for Juan Manuel Lopez's last fight, which was only $40.
The reason that this is a big deal and I want to follow it closely again is because this fight between Quinlan and Eubanks, it represents ITV's first venture into the pay-per-view model. So, you know that is a market that's dominated by Eddie Hearn and Sky Sports. So it's interesting to see because think about it. If this does remotely well for Eubank, you know, stop being negative, fucking Matt. If it does well, he can entice Triple G or other opponents now. Like he has essentially his network who would put the money behind him to get big name fighters on that platform. Like, maybe
this fight doesn't sell well, though. Like, that's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that this, like, yes. I'm not saying that Chris Eubank Jr. is a bad guy or he's a bad boxer. You know me. I'm a big fan of Eubank Jr.
That was the same thing people were worried about with PBC. And thinking negatively, seeing the glass half empty, just be optimistic. Let's be happy we have boxing on another platform. And it's basically octopus in here, allowing us to have different hands in different places.
I actually think if it fails, right? I think if it fails, it might actually be a good thing because it shows that Chris Eubank Jr. can't fight a no-name and do well enough, so that will force him to actually fight a name. So I think that will lessen his bargaining power and maybe make himself more eager to get in the ring with maybe obviously the winner of Golovkin Jacobs or someone like Billy Joe Saunders, a rematch, or someone maybe eventually like Canelo, because that name, if you were to go over there and he was to fight a world-level guy, like some of the guys I just mentioned, I think that would do well. But I think it makes things more difficult if this does shockingly well, because they could fight another guy with very low risk and it'll still make money. So, I'm not being so negative about it because I don't have to pay for it. And just like any other pay-per-view, right? If you hate it, just don't pay for it. Like, I'm not going to spend hours shitting on Miguel Cotto for choosing to weight drain James Kirkland. I'm just going to look at it, say it's bullshit, and not buy it.
Yo, so how good is Ronald Quillen or Quinlan? I mean, he's only got 12 fights and he's got a title. Is he as good as Rigondeaux and Lomachenko?
No. No, I've seen a little bit of tape study. Obviously, it's a little bit hard to see just because of the geographic difference and the network differences, obviously. But from the little bit I've seen, I think that he is a basic European boxer. I think he does good work to the body, so that might be interesting. But I think Eubank is a legit world-level guy at 160. And even though he's at 168, it's not like Quinlan is a world-class 168 guy. So,
well, he's from Australia. First off,
whatever. But I've seen a little tape of him.
Matt just wants to say a basic white boxer. That's what he's saying.
Well, the Australian style is the same as the European style.
He challenged for the vacant IBO title.
The guy's not even white, so I don't know what the deal is.
Well, my whole thing is that he's a part-time boxer. That's the biggest thing because he hasn't been that active. He took some time off, and he hasn't. You're right. He hasn't done enough to earn a title shot. But it is the IBO, right? And listen, like, if this is what it takes for, Eubank Jr. to move his career forward, I'm okay with that. Just because this him flirting up and him getting a title at the higher weight class, whatever. Like, I just don't really, you know, there's no reason to, I guess, shit on what's already happening. I guess we should just look at it with a grain of salt and move forward. And that's kind of how I see it. And the public in the UK, I don't know, like, this is why it's interesting to get Spencer Fearon on, because I want to know how they sell this fight other than what was described before and what was attacked on Twitter, which was the fact that he's getting the IBO title. So I think that's what they're going to be trying to sell. And maybe the casuals will bite to that. The casuals, not talking about anybody who commented on his Twitter account when he put up those pictures of all those other people, because the comments I saw were mostly negative. They weren't like, doing big, good things, daring to be great. They were more like, come on, man, we know this, you know, what you're trying to do. So,
listen, you guys, or Matt, right, being negative or wanting it to do bad, again, just.
I never said I wanted it to do bad. Good. I'm just wondering if it will. That's just a question. It's not saying I want it to do bad. I want Eubank to have a good career. That's why I want him to not be with his dad. I'm not being negative. I'm just being realistic about the situation.
Well, I wanted to do good because in the eyes of the Eubanks, they feel like Eddie Hearn was the speed bump in getting the Triple G fight done. So if he does good with this opponent, he could easily fight Triple G.
Yeah, but I think that the requirements or the demands would be even worse because he wasn't letting the daddy didn't let Eddie Hearn promote his son because daddy needed the attention, right? Yeah, and that's how I see it.
That's the point. That's the point, MD. That's the point that if this does well, daddy doesn't need Eddie Hearn. Triple G doesn't work.
I know, but daddy's not easy to deal with. That's the problem.
Well, that's according to Hearn. Now let's see what happens when Eubank Sr. and K2 Tom Lawfer deal with each other, you know, directly.
When has Eddie Hearn been difficult to deal with?
I'm just saying.
Is that not a valid point? Eddie Hearn wants to make a phone call,
there's some emotions involved. If you've seen the interview with Eddie Hearn, he's speaking about a time where he invited Chris Eubank to his father's birthday party, and Eubank wanted to charge a fee. So there's some animosity there. Don't tell me that there couldn't be, the grass couldn't be greener if Eubank Sr. was dealing directly with K2. I want to believe that. I'm optimistic.
True. I hear where you're coming from. But again, can you just answer the question, though? When has Eddie Hearn been difficult to deal with?
He's good to me. He's going to be coming on this show. He actually finally texted me back. So he'll be on this show sometime this week or next.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And that's the thing. I know Eddie Hearn, I've been critical of a lot of what Eddie Hearn's doing in the sense that I believe that he promotes, which is propaganda to an extent. And I believe that he, fluffs things up when they need to be fluffed up. And exaggerates when they need to be exaggerated. But that's kind of what a promoter does. And that's why writers and people in the boxing community can kind of, dissect what he's saying. But for all those things, he seems to be a guy who's willing to work with all promoters and all entities. So I think that the things that Eubank Sr. was demanding, according to Eddie Hearn's side, was like ticket sale. Like they were really nitpicky things that makes it difficult for a promoter to promote properly because of the level of demands. It wasn't just a money thing. It was a control thing. And Chris Eubank Sr. wanted more control than most people that work underneath the promoter do.
Well, man, it's going to be interesting to see. I wish someone knew Quinlan. I'm wondering what's taking Spencer so long, because I really want to know how good is he with just 12 fights and being some version of a sanctioning body's champion. It's interesting. You know, the only guys we see with titles this early in are phenoms.
He has that win against a faded Daniel Gill, and you know that they could bring up a common opponent between him and Golovkin, and he knocked him out in two rounds. I mean, they're great. You saw, Ness, some of the promotion for the Wilder-Eric Molina fight. And how many times did you see that clip where he landed that punch on Wilder and stunned him? And if you play it over and over again, people who are the definition of casuals, man, yeah, like Wilder, you know, he caught Wilder, so maybe he'll catch AJ. And then when AJ destroys him, then it's something that, Wilder wasn't able to do, which is true. But I think that you have to do those things to promote this level of fight. With a fight like Klitschko-Joshua, like, what do you really have to say to promote that fight? You don't even have to be creative. Like, Klitschko and Joshua are fighting. That's all you have to do, because the fight speaks for itself. You don't have to be creative.
And like I said, this card isn't that bad. It's getting, you know, it's starting to shape up. With just 3 weeks out, the Eubanks are showing that their name value holds some weight. They also got the, slightly young kid, Galahad. He suffered some, PD issues. In 2014, he was suspended, but he's been back, and he had a really active 2016, and he's scheduled to be on this card. So that puts him right in mark to have a fight in the first quarter, which could
possibly... And that kid's the goods. That kid is the goods.
Well, I mean, we got to see how good. He tested positive. So, we got to see. But he's back.
That means very little.
He's back, and his TBA is his opponent to be announced. But in the meantime, let me get to a call here. I'm going to see.
No, one second. I bet you have to. Testing positive means very little. How so?
It determines on what substance you test positive for. Because, like, melatonin is
zero performance enhancing quality.
Okay.
No sense to go back and forth. Look up exactly what he tested positive for. And in the meantime, we'll get to Blackface. Talk to me.
Yeah, man. Respect to everyone listening in the past, present, or future. Currently 6:55 in the PM over here in the UK. So, yeah, I just thought I'd give you a quick call based on... Oh, actually, before I started, MD needs to either take a pie to the face or slap himself. Yo, I caught him smoking a cigarette on the show. Don't think you tried to hide from me. I saw you, you know, smoking a cigarette on the show. You can't be an MD and stuff delivering babies, smoking cigars over female birth canals. You need to take a pie, mate. You need to take a pie. But that being said, I'll just get into the Chris Eubank talk. In regards to ITV pay-per-view.
It wasn't a cigarette.
What was that?
It wasn't a cigarette.
It was,
hey,
it was
Blackface, actually, let me get right back to you. We finally just got Spencer Ferron on. He popped in here. Spence, we were going back and forth with the co-host, and we just started to accept calls. But for us, we're here in the United States. We've really never heard of Ronald Quinlan. Should we? Because he only has 12 fights, and he has some version of a world title.
We haven't really heard of him either in the UK, so we're done. But I think you got to look at it as an event. You have to look at the lineage between the dad, Chris Eubank Sr., and his son, him being back on ITV, even though it's ITV pay-per-view. I wish him all the best. Yeah, and that's the God's honest truth. I wish him all the best. I know them personally, so I wish him all the best.
So, Spencer, you said, and this is a co-host, Boxing MD, and thanks for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? I'm honored that you guys gave me a shout. Like, our podcast in the UK is going really, really strong. So, like, you guys at Boxing Voice, a lot of guys were saying, yeah, man, you want to be on the show. And this was like last year, guys were saying this to me. And I was being a little bit cynical. So to see how you guys are popping right now, just carry on, keep on doing your work. I love anyone who talks boxing, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the praise. I appreciate it. But you said that, you know, it's an event with his dad and himself, right? Yeah. Is there a point in his career, right, that they kind of have to let the son step ahead of his dad? Not to ignore his name, but to not have posters with him and his dad, you know, kind of like morphing out of him as like a ghost. Because we want, I'm sure, the people, you know, involved in Eubank Jr. want him to be his own champion. And, do you see where I'm coming from with that?
100%. I totally agree with you, my friend. But we have to look at is the fact that in order to sell him to the magnitude of what they're going to sell him, they have to do it off of the back of the dad. Now, I know you're saying like you want him to be his own person. Yeah, you do want him to be his own person. And I believe that he will become his own person eventually. But right now you're looking at the Eubank brand. You're not just looking at Chris Eubank Jr. because it was Chris Eubank Jr. off his own back in the ITV pay-per-view. He's actually a terrestrial channel in the UK. It's not a subscription channel. It's open to anyone who buys a TV set. You get that on Freeview. So for them to go and say they're going to go with the model of doing a pay-per-view, it's a big risk. But also, they have a massive reach because they got a big audience.
Now, Spence, I was telling my co-host how I felt that I wanted to be optimistic. I want this to do extremely well for Eubank Jr. because in the eyes of the Eubanks, they feel like Eddie Hearn was the roadblock in that Triple G fight. So now if we could eliminate Eddie Hearn and just have Eubank and K2 doing business together and Eubank has a good selling on ITV, maybe he can get the backing to bring Triple G back to the UK and do another big show over there, big drama show for sure.
Fingers crossed. You never know. Like I said, I know Chris Eubank Sr. personally, and he's a law unto himself, but I can't knock him for being a law unto himself because he is the way that he is, especially if you look at his background and where he's come from to the magnitude of height of where he is now, what he's accomplished throughout his professional boxing career, you know, beating Nigel Benn in 1990, going on making 20 being in 20 world title fights. You know, in 5 years, you can't not kick the dad for the way that he is. He's very, very stubborn-headed. His son has got the kind of same kind of mentality as his dad, but his son seems to be more spiteful. So we don't know if they can make this Triple G fight. But one thing I do know for certain, it is a fight that they want. It's not no hype. It's not no, oh, we want the Triple G fight. Calling that, let's call that the best in the world to make our name be noticed. And hence why we got you good guys in America speaking about it. No, the dad and the son 100% believe they could beat Triple G. So maybe, let's fingers crossed, they can make the right moves to make that fight happen.
Hey, Spencer, this is Matt, the producer on the show. Do you think the additions like David Price, Kid Galahad on the card will add significant amounts of pay-per-views?
You know what? Right now, boxing is on a rise massively. And if you look in the UK right now, we've got 12 world champions. So things are really on a high. Now, David Price, who's being trained right now by my good friend Dave Caldwell, I thought maybe he could have been on the undercard of Tony Bellew, David Haye fight, which is on the 4th of March. So I thought maybe that would be on that undercard. It's not on that undercard. It's on this one. They're putting together a decent card. It's not like people being very, very cynical about the card, but when you look at the card, it's like David Price is fighting Sven Hamer, right?
Yeah, he's fighting Christian Hamer, yeah.
So that's a decent matchup. I mean, Hamer did his best against Tyson Fury, became heavyweight champion of the world. So that's a decent fight. Kid Galahad is an excellent fighter. Trust me, Kid Galahad is very, very serious and excellent, he's superb. So having him, maybe he can be into a meaningful fight as well. And we'll see how it goes on. But one thing about British boxing fans, you guys should be in Britain because, like, most guys in America ain't as clued up as you guys. You guys are on point. Everyone who comes to your show is proper on point. I would say that because the British fight fan is so clued up, maybe they won't fall into it. But you have to say the fight fan compared to the casual boxing fan who just wants to see a decent tear up or a fight of magnitude, especially set up for the Eubank name, they would most probably buy this fight.
Well, let me ask you, I guess, a further question about the British fight fan, because on this show, we have a lot of people, sometimes we call it like repping the flag, right? You know, when we see fights, you know, like, for example, like the Golovkin-Brook fight, a lot of guys from the UK were picking Cal Brook to beat him, right? So I saw that as repping the flag. Is that something that is just a casual thing, you think? Or do you think that it pours over into more of the commentators and, I guess, the experts over there? Is that, you know?
Well, to tell you the truth, I think people who were saying that Kell Brook could have got and beat Golovkin, I think that was more to do with the case of we knowing how good Kell Brook is. Kell Brook is very, very talented. And patriotism does play a part in it, that you just say, well, we know Kel, we know what he can do. So as far as I'm concerned, we're just going to back him. It's not for, and I know Kel personally, so it's like, it's not for me to jump and say, nah, Kel's going to get destroyed and this and that. I was given every intangible reason why he could win the fight. Unfortunately, he came in second best, but he put a very, very good performance in. And yes, sometimes we do get blinded. We get blinded by the hysteria of, you know, the comfortability of familiarity. So when you see someone a lot, you kind of fall in love with him and you just want him to win. So, yeah, we the British public can get fooled. But right now, when it comes to the world of boxing, the British boxing fight fan, they're pretty clued up. You can't pull wool over their eyes. They're very, very clued.
Spence, we don't want to keep you too long, but now that we have you, there's no...
Like I said, I'm so grateful to be talking to you guys.
Oh, man, thank you, man. It's an honor to be talking to you. But now that we have you, there's no way we can let you get away without letting us know. I mean, is there going to be any patriotism when you pick your pick versus Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko? I mean, Klitschko is from Germany, to say the least. You're over there with Joshua. So how do you see that fight playing out? Because a lot of experts, even Lennox Lewis, is saying that Joshua wouldn't be able to beat Vladimir Klitschko.
I spoke to Lennox Lewis yesterday, right? And he was saying the same thing. And I'm saying, when this fight was first muted, it was first muted last year for October. And I remember speaking to Eddie Hearn and saying, I don't think, like, the time span, I think he had something like 6 weeks to make the fight happen. I thought a fight of the numbers that they'd be looking to make, it'd be very, very difficult to make that fight. And so said, so done. But I've seen an improvement in Anthony Joshua. And it's not, when you say patriotism, Anthony Joshua is somebody I've known from the amateur days. And I've seen his progression. And as much as we're looking on, you look at Klitschko, the guys who give Klitschko trouble, look at all the fights. They've all been quick, twitch, fast punching guys. Look at his record. You know, remember Williamson had him over a couple of times. Lamont Brewster guy. They've all been athletic. Even if you look on the South African brother, Corey Sanders. Corey Sanders is very, very quick-handed, can bang as well. There is no difference to Anthony Joshua not being in that mold. Anthony Joshua is in that mold. And the worst thing for the youth of Anthony Joshua. And
all right, I think
Klitschko can revert back to his teachings of Emmanuel Stewart by pushing that long jab out. Hello, hello.
Yeah, we're losing you a bit. You got a bad connection, Spence.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yep.
But we hear you. We hear you though.
Hello?
Yeah, we hear you fine.
We hear you. Spence?
Hello? Did you lose me there?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. Go ahead.
I hear you.
Am I back?
Yep.
You're back. You're back.
Right. So I don't know what part you got.
Well, you're talking about the youth of Joshua, you know, and talking about the fast twitch, advantage that Joshua has.
So if you look on the things that Klitschko does, Klitschko could win this fight being boring, knowing that, like, I'm in London, I don't care if I win. Because Klitschko wins boring in Germany, he doesn't care. So you're going to come to a foreign ground, he won't care to try and win boring. So Anthony Joshua has initially 36 minutes to detonate that big right hand. And I don't see anybody hitting with that kind of punching power in the heavyweight division outside of a Deontay Wilder, who is not as technically polished as Anthony Joshua. And Anthony Joshua's still got a lot to improve on, but I believe right now it's the right time. I think the fight's the right time. If the fight happened last year, I'd have reservations, but since then, even though Anthony Joshua didn't have nothing really to beat in Eric Molina, and that's no disrespect to Eric Molina, but it was a style in which Anthony Joshua dealt with Eric Molina that makes me think Eric Molina wobbled Chris Areola. Eric Molina hurt Deontay Wilder, and Anthony Joshua just battered him. So by looking at that, I think if Anthony's being smart, he's got to be smart. He's got to be his double jab right hand. I see Anthony winning that fight.
Yeah, and speaking, last question. This is from this is Boxing MD again. Speaking about another young, talented fighter, I got to ask you about the Kell Brook Earl Spence situation. Is Kell Brook, is he serious about potentially fighting Earl Spence? Because I have personally, right, as an American, I have no problem with him choosing to fight Amir Khan. But if that's the case, then I think just because of it's his voluntary or his mandatory, he should drop that belt. And I don't think the IBF is going to allow him to fight Amir Khan, because unless he unifies it with someone like Manny Pacquiao, he will be stripped. So is that going to be his next fight versus Kell Brook? Kell Brook versus Spence? Is that, you know, really going to happen?
I don't believe so, because I'm going to break this down for you. Amir Khan now is back with Asif Vali, who was like he's kind of advisor, mentor, manager when he first turned professional. Asif Vali is trying really, really hard and pushing really hard to make Kell Brook versus Amir really hard, because I work at Sky, so I know they've been having talks. Eddie Hearn's trying to push for that fight. He's been trying to push for that fight for ages. But I think it was more so for him to have somebody on Amir's side wanting to push for the fight. But I spoke to one of Amir's close friends last week, and Bills Muhammad was saying that he thinks the fight will happen in 2018 and not 2017. But I don't think Kell Brook can make the weight anymore. I think Amir Khan proved that in the Canelo fight, where I thought he boxed excellently. And I don't know, to me, I had him winning every round. I don't know how you guys saw the fight, but I thought Amir Khan boxed excellently until he got knocked out.
I didn't see it the same way. Just put it that way. I did not see it the same way.
What, do you think that Canelo was battering him?
I thought that Canelo, in the first maybe two rounds, he had a – you saw his face. He was a little surprised with the speed. But then I saw him investing to the body and starting timing a little bit of the body of the head punches. Yes. And I did not see him winning every single round. And I thought that the knockout was inevitable, in my opinion.
Well, maybe not every single round, but I had Amir Khan winning. After six rounds, he got stopped. I had Amir Khan winning that fight. Seriously, I had him winning the fight.
How many rounds did you give to Kell Brook and Golovkin?
How many rounds?
Every round?
No, I never. Fair play to
him. I'm messing with you.
Spence, look at your smile, Spence. You might have gave him about three rounds.
Look, man. I didn't come on the show to be harassed. No, I'm being real. All I got to say is, like, I respect Teddy Atlas. And I remember Teddy Atlas giving an interview afterwards and saying, like, it's either gross incompetence or there is some miscarrying of correctness going on in the sport right now. So, and that's coming from Teddy Atlas. That's not, and I was like, wow, I'm actually agreeing with something Teddy Atlas is saying right now.
In regards to what fight?
You know what I mean? In regards to Amir Khan versus Canelo.
Okay.
I thought Amir Khan was winning the fight. You know what I mean? Yeah. I really did. But Canelo's very, very clever. And he set up Amir Khan to knock him out. And I think in Canelo's mindset, it was like, don't worry, I'm going to catch you eventually. So, but you know what? We see things differently. What I notice is, like, in the UK, we watch things. We're not so much power crazy. We're looking at more this is where the sport, the Marcus of Queensbury rules come out of our country in the 18th century. So I think that we look more to.
How could you say that when AJ is a powerful motherfucker, okay? And he's being sold that way. And that's kind of helped his stardom. So I hear what you're saying. You guys are more educated. You're trying to say that you're more educated than the American fan, but you guys use the same techniques.
My brother, wait one second. This sounds really funny, right? Deontay Wilder is the WBC counterpart, right? Is Deontay Wilder technically better than Anthony Joshua?
No.
Best in power, right? Is he technically better?
No.
Right, okay then, right. Because, like, he'd be fighting in Vegas and he swings back to North Carolina to throw a right hand. There's no disrespect to Deontay Wilder. Well, I love
it. A geography check, he lives in Alabama, so.
The Alabama slammer, right. So, therefore, he does swing a lot, right. So, I'm saying technically, Anthony Joshua should be sold on power. But Anthony Joshua is actually a very good high school boxer to the simple fact that he's being sold on power because he can punch. And we know that this sells globally. When you knock guys out, that's what everyone's like, wow. Because if he wasn't knocking guys out, right now we wouldn't be speaking about him. But if you look at Anthony Joshua, he's very well learned. And now that he's working with Robert McCracken, I think we're going to see a better Anthony Joshua than we've seen in a hot minute.
Spencer, last question from me, Matt, the producer. What buy rate does Eubank Quinlan need to be a success? Does it need to do 200,000 pay-per-view buys? Does it need to do 400,000 pay-per-view buys? Does it need to do 50,000? You know, what do you think is a success for ITV?
Right. You know what? I don't know what it is. I just wish him all the best. End of the day, I work at Sky Sports. I'm one of the greatest podcasts on the planet, ringside toe-to-toe. So, therefore, I just wish them the best. They're entering the arena. They're gonna have to do a lot. If they did 100,000 buys, to me that'd be good. But
what's the capacity of that arena?
Yeah, they changed venues now, right?
Yeah, they've changed venues. I think it's like 10,000.
Okay.
Right. They've got some very good guys working on their team as well. Johnny Wish, who used to work for Matchroom, is now working at ITV. That's a big move because he used to be like one of like the heads of boxing for Matchroom, for Eddie Hearn's Matchroom. So he's working there. So they're going in. It's still going to be very difficult for him to make the show really, really big. It's going to be hard. I'm going to be real. Like, you go into promoting and you've been given a slot. Yeah. Well, we've done like shows on that. We share shows. Now we've got TV deal, but that's the job. The more competition that there is in professional box, especially in the UK right now, properly ran thing, I think the guys who are sitting comfortable, like the Eddie Hearns, like Eddie Hearns said recently, right now I've got to really like pull my finger out and get on the job. So I believe that if they get 100,000 buys, it's going to be good.
Well, Spence, man, we want to thank you, obviously, for giving us the opportunity to interview you and, you know, coming on. Definitely appreciate it. We're gonna look to get you back, man, so keep those lines of communication open. If you want any social media out.
And before I go, can I ask you guys something? What's your take on the James DeGale versus Badu Jack fight?
Oh, man.
James DeGale wins.
James DeGale. Everybody's picking DeGale. Everyone's picking DeGale, but I wonder about
Jack's too basic. Jack is a little bit too basic, in my opinion.
But he's been looking strong. He's been looking strong his last couple of fights.
Spencer, I will tell you one thing.
Versus Porky Medina.
I will tell you one thing that I'm jealous, at least from the aspect that it's not being promoted with the UK, I guess, skill or whatever, because the tickets are doing bad over here, and he's an Olympic gold medal winner. So, it's just disappointing. A fight at that level is having a hard time getting 10,000 seats when we're talking about a potential sellout or whatever. Where, you know, Chris Eubank Jr. versus Ronaldo Quillen. I gotta, you know, check his name. You know what I mean?
There's a lot of beef between James Agel and Chris Eubank Jr. as well over a sparring session that he had about 4 years ago. So it's kind of crazy because, if you think about it, even though Badu Jack is based in America in the Mayo gym, I know Badu Jack, he's a cool guy. James Agel's got the more American boxing style, especially in the super middleweight. He's got the more loose language kind of style of boxing. So I got James Agel winning that fight, but I want to hear what you guys were thinking. It is sad that the fight hasn't sold. But the thing about it is this, is when James Agel went over with Al Haymon, he knew that maybe he wasn't going to get. How we promote in Great Britain right now, and especially people can say what they want to say about Eddie Hearn, but let me tell you this now. The shows that they put on, especially when it comes to Andy Joshua, the show within itself is an event. You get non-boxing fans go to watch Andy Joshua, go to see any of the Matchroom shows. When they got a big pay-per-view show, that's exactly what it is. So it's kind of sad that James Agel opted to leave the UK and go to America. But I can understand why he did it, because the financial gains and the rewards that he's getting paid from Al Haymon, I'm saying ride that gravy train until the gravy train collapses.
Thank you. Do people lose, like someone like Amir Khan, when they leave and they choose to make their home, I guess, fighting destination in the U.S., do they lose, I guess, favoritism over in the U.K., or do people still ride with them?
Nah. Well, the thing is funny, because you mentioned Amir Khan. And Amir Khan would admit this himself. Amir Khan is not really liked in the UK, unfortunately. So when he left, one of the reasons that he left is because he felt that he would have been promoted better if he was a European, like an English European, white European fighter, than being an Asian, because of Islamophobia. So I can understand it a little bit, but what it is like in the UK, we do really like humble kind of people. Like somebody like Adrian Broner just wouldn't make it in the UK. So in the UK, they really do. They like humble people. They like, you know, quietly confident people. They don't like.
I guess Chisora is an exception, right?
Chisora is an exception, and so is Nassim Hamid. But apart from that, it's a different ballpark. You guys, I'm gonna get Dylan White to come on your show, and I'm also gonna get Derek Cesar. I know them both really well, and I know Dylan listens to everything when it comes to boxing. I've known Dylan since he's been a little kid, so I'm gonna tell him. I'm gonna send you over his details. You gotta get him on your show, because he's very entertaining, and also Derek Cesar.
I want Dylan White. You tell him that I've been contacting him on Instagram every day for like a month already. He better hit me back.
Listen, man, I'll tell Dylan to be on it, man. You guys just keep on doing what you keep. Just keep on doing what you're doing, man. Right now, boxing is fantastic. Imagine I get paid to talk something that I'd be in a pub for free. I get paid to talk it now. Boxing is really on the rise. Trust me, Sky TV are going to be doing some fantastic things. We had a big development meeting last week, and the boss, Adam Smith, with the executive producer now, who's Ed Roberts, who's one of my longtime buddies, we've got some fantastic things coming up right now. So you guys got to keep cool. You got to come to London and come to the big fights, man.
We're planning on it, man. We're planning on it.
When the weather gets better, you know?
I'm waiting for that AJ Wilder. That's the one that's going to bring me there for sure.
Yeah? If AJ fights Wilder, what's your prediction?
Oh, well, it's too soon to tell. We got to see.
It's Ness. Come on. It's Ness.
We got to see if Wilder's hand is gonna you know, end up doing any better, because he keeps breaking. And this is his third break now. And we just got to see. Like you said, technically, AJ looks better. But if we can get a more polished version of Wilder, I see problems. You know, I think that Wilder's agility, his reach, his height, and power, all those things spell trouble. But if he can't put it together technically in the ring, if he's going to be as sloppy as he has versus past opponents, Joshua's a bit of a counterpuncher. He could easily counter, you know, Wilder. I mean, we've seen Arthur Spielka, who's like a career cruiserweight, move up and hit Wilder. So what would Joshua do? And we don't know that Deontay's gone down before with Skander. So it's not like he hasn't been down, and, you know, I just need to see him some more. And versus, who's he fighting? Andres Warwick. That's, you know, he's just testing the hand. It's not really testing the level of skill.
Okay. And your take, Matt?
I think that Anthony Joshua kind of knocks out Wilder. I think Anthony Joshua is the perfect come forward fighter. He establishes distance and accuracy within the first round in all of his fights now. And I think that's a great trend. So I just see Joshua walking down Wilder, establishing that accuracy, establishing the distance, and then working that jab to the body and that right hand over top, eventually knocking him out.
And what's your take, champ?
What you call me?
Champ.
Champ. No. So I agree. I think right now, technically speaking, it's going to be, because I know you might not like to hear this, but I question AJ's chin as well. But I think he's better. I think he's better.
I don't mind that. I agree with you.
But I think that he's better at protecting it. And I think that, like you said, the technical aspect of his game, he throws much shorter, cleaner punches. And I think that he's going to land first on Wilder. It's going to be an exciting fight, because it's undeniable the power that they both have. But I'm definitely picking AJ. And it's funny that you say that, because I was actually picking Vlad going into the fight, because obviously Klitschko is a leap above Eric Molina, which may be his best opponent, I guess, other than Dillian White, some might argue. But I don't know. Maybe AJ's the truth, and maybe I'll pick him. So let's hope that – I mean, as a boxing fans, we all want AJ to win, because he does well for the sport. And
He's the future. I mean, if he wins, there's new life in boxing, right, especially in the heavyweight division. Like, when Klitschko was the champion, no one cared. It's just the truth. We didn't care. HBO – disowned the heavyweight division. They didn't want anything to do with it. David Haye, oh, I backed him, and he made us look horrible with the toe situation, flopping all around. I mean, we need AJ to win, but Vladimir Klitschko is – Vladimir, how many Olympic gold medalists has Vladimir Klitschko beaten already? People are forgetting this guy because of one win, and Styles makes fights. Anthony Joshua is not Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury knows how to use his legs and his reach. He did that. He showed that in 16-0 when he fought Derek Chisora back then. Back then, he showed that he knows how to use his legs.
When Tyson Fury, I love Tyson Fury, but when Tyson Fury beat Derek Chisora the first time, No one ever, like, Derek Chisora went into that fight with a hernia. He was going to pull out. But then his promoter, then Frank Warren, talked him into this and said, listen, man, we've got to take this fight. It's a big fight. And it's on commercial TV. And he took the fight. And this is facts. And I'm hearing this from Don Charles, who is Derek Chisora's trainer. And he used to be my old clubmate when I was boxing as an amateur. So I'm not knocking Tyson Fury's accomplishment in beating Derek Chisora. But if you watch that Derek Chisora, he looks sloppy and fat and out of shape.
Yeah, but Spence, he did it twice. He gave him a rematch.
And he always looks fat. He's never going to be an Adonis, you know? He's never going to look like that.
Chisora came into the ring weighing 268 pounds that first fight. I remember that fight.
Right. Derek Chisora trained his butt off to fight Dillon White because they've had a long time grudge. What was it? About 7 years ago, they sparred in my gym. And at this time, Dillon didn't even have any amateur experience, but I got a phone call from Don Charles. And he asked for, have I got any sparring? Have I got any headworks at the gym? I said, yeah, there's a kid who comes in and they sparred. And it was exactly like the fight that you saw last month. They had an absolute war in sparring because Dillon comes from K1 and kickboxing experience. They had an absolute war. And what you saw the other day was Dillon White being a little bit more polished and boxing or trying to box, but still getting drawn in. Great. Those two, hopefully that fight will be made again. That's the talk, that a fight's going to happen maybe about June. So fingers crossed that that happens.
You know, yeah. That one's happening. That became a headliner. The minute that people start saying that was fight of the year, Eddie Hearn said this is a headliner. Sometime next year, well, this year now, it'll be a headliner.
Yep, yep, yep. Anyway, gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure doing your show.
Thank you so much.
Keep it ring. So I'm going to give you guys a shout on the next podcast, which we're doing on Wednesday. It's going to be myself, former world champion Johnny Nelson on the show with me because he's going to be standing as a co-host. And we've got a new guy in called Ross Tompkins Jenkins, who's a really good guy. So I'm looking forward to doing the show. Keep on doing what you're doing because I love you guys' work. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Spence, man. It's been a pleasure, and we can't wait to get you back. We're going to go back out to these callers, ladies and gentlemen. There you have it, Spencer Ferron from Sky Sports Toe to Toe. Talking a little boxing with us, man. The Eubank Junior card is starting to look a lot better, man. We're going to go back out to Blackface in the UK. Blackface, talk to us.
Yeah, during that time I was on hold, I just thought I'd just have a quick conversation with my mother. She watches ITV a lot. There's a lot of female-oriented shows all on that. And, you know, based on her age, she's well aware of who Chris Eubank Sr. is. Thinks he's a cornball, but she did tell me when I asked her, she did say she did see something today. Chris Eubank and his son were on the TV talking about boxing. This was today on ITV, so I don't know exactly what they were doing, but I guess it was in promotion related to the fight. But, yeah, I just thought I'd call in.
He tweeted out that I guess maybe because I'm on a different time zone, but he said that he would be on Good Morning Britain.
That's like comes on at 9:30 a.m. And it's basically just a talk show where they talk about just random bullshit, really. But yeah, the females are interested in it, and from my understanding, he was on there talking about boxing. So, yeah, it looks like they're starting to promote the fight. I mean, ITV is a massive channel over here. There's only really one channel that would be bigger than it. But, you know, they're pretty much 50-50. It's got over, like, 60 years of experience or something like that. As soon as you turn on your TV, regardless of where you get your TV from, as long as it accepts the wire in the back, ITV will be on Channel 3. So, yeah.
Did Senior let his son talk, or was it all about Senior? Like, I'm trying to understand the dynamic between the two of them when they're on a program like that.
I mean, I'm not sure because I haven't seen it. I'll have to speak to my mother again and ask her. But she did say Eubank Sr. was on the TV this morning with some other guy. And they were speaking about boxing. I imagine the other guy was his son. So
that's so sad. That's so sad. The other guys were the son. Come on. That's so sad.
Well, obviously, she doesn't know boxing, but she knows Michael Benn, she knows the older heads who are her age group type of thing. She doesn't know these younger guys. She doesn't watch boxing like that, but she knows.
Yeah, but if she knew Chris Eubank Sr. and that was obviously, and they displayed obviously that was his son, she would recognize, oh, I saw Chris Eubank Sr. and his son the other day. the other day, not just some other guy. You get what I'm saying? Yeah,
she refers to him as some other guy, so I'm referring to you as he's some other guy. I don't know who he was, but he probably was his son. But yeah,
just hilarious. I love it, Blackface. Blackface, you got to make it down to the reunion. You got to come to the reunion, man. Go to the website, theboxervoice.com/reunion. You can make it to New York City, man. You deserve an award. You've been a phenomenal call ever since you started calling in, brother.
Yeah, and you know what's not hilarious? The lack of thumbs up. Because
I know. I didn't want to say it while Spence was on, but I'm like, yo, how is it that so many people are watching and we're not getting any love, like, with the thumbs up? I mean, we got a guest on. It's a UK-based show. We're covering subjects we don't normally cover, and we're bringing in experts to help us not spread misinformation, and we're still not getting any
love. And myself, although being polite, I do press him on some of his questions. So, you know, we ask real questions and we do real things. We get real guests. So please like and support. It's much appreciated.
Yeah, I was.
Hold on. Kell Brook versus Spence and happening. Come on. We got to talk about that.
Well, what? What are you talking about?
Kell Brook versus Spence on happening. That's what Spencer said.
All right. Let's Blackface finish up. So we'll talk about it in a sec.
Yeah, I was thumbs up number six. I think number six or seven, I thumbs up earlier on. But yeah, I agree. Everyone needs to be thumbs up in more in regards to the show. But yeah, that's my call. You cannot make yourself feel something you don't feel, but you can make yourself do right in spite of your feelings.
All right. Willy Wonka, talk to me.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
You know that Spencer, he talks a lot of shit. You know, he picked Kell Brook to beat Golovkin. And he also picked, what's that Jamaican guy called again? The one that fought Lomachenko?
Nicholas
Walters.
Nicholas Walters.
MD knew that. So that's why I asked him the Golovkin question in a very professional way that I didn't say it like how you did it. So I hear you.
He talks a lot of shit. But I like him. I still listen to him anyway on this podcast. But he still talks a lot of shit. And the thumbs up thing you guys keep talking about, I think that why people don't do it is because you got to be signed in. And I think most of the people who watch it don't have an account on YouTube.
Makes sense. That's why they need to subscribe. Then they would get those notifications. They would have known we had an expert from Sky Sports on, you know. I don't know. I put it in the information there. That's questionable. They said the most listened to podcast. I don't know. Last time I checked, that was us. But whatever.
Well, and also being signed in and having an account not only gives you the ability to hit thumbs up, which is appreciated, but we do read the comments time to time. So if you guys, you know, have something in addition to the conversation or something for the future, you have the ability to do that with signing in. It takes a few seconds and making a comment because we all read the comments.
We sure do. Willie, so talk to me, man.
Yeah, no, it's not the podcast that everyone listens to on Sky Sports. They have like a 10-minute before the podcast with the guests and that, and that's the most watched thing. It's not a podcast.
Oh.
But anyways, the Chris Eubank fight, that's bullshit. That's a ripoff. No one's going to watch it, and I hope no one buys it. Because he's an absolute dickhead, and his dad looks like a pedophile anyway. So, yeah, I hope no one buys that fight.
Yo!
His
dad looks like a little ninja turtle, to be honest with you. But listen, what do you know about Quinlan, though?
Nothing. And I'm the most casual fan, right? And I started getting in boxing like since the Pacquiao Mayweather fight. And that didn't really turn me off boxing. That was the first fight I ever watched. And the fight after that I watched was the Klitschko Fury.
Probably the two most boring. Damn, fights. You've had it rough as a fucking fan, Dan. He went from Mayweather Pacquiao to Klitschko Fury. I would have killed myself.
Yo, did you also watch the the entire album set of Guillermo Rigondeaux's fight after?
No, I never fucked that shit, man. Bro, I'd fucking...
Willie, this is a fucking great call. Willie, you're livening up the show. Way to wake us up this morning. Fuck. That's a great call.
Bro, you need to start doing that intro for me because I'm going to start calling all the time.
Oh, no. Don't worry about it. You
keep bringing the heat. Don't burn out. You got to keep bringing the heat. You know what I'm saying? So better come...
Picture with the long hair. Damn. Am I the only guy? And I don't even watch baseball. Who's the famous pitcher with the long hair?
What do you mean? Famous pitcher with long hair?
There's a lot with long hair. But
oh, really? earlier. That's how little.
You're talking about Randy fucking Johnson back in the day.
Somebody, no, it's not Randy Johnson. It can't be Randy Johnson.
Someone who always brought the heat. He was a pitcher. He was, I don't know what fucking team he's in. Whatever. It was a bad analogy. I'm not good at.
The guy from the Giants. I forget his name.
I'm not good with sports. Whatever, Willie. Go ahead. I'm phone jacking anyway.
Nah, all good, all good. But you guys even have the guy before Chris Eubank on the picture. It says Reynald Quinlan versus Eubank. Isn't Eubank meant to be Mr.
Well, no, because he's the champion. Remember, he's the IBO super middleweight champion of the world.
That's not even a fucking sanctioning body. That's a joke.
Whoa. Gennady Golovkin, Triple G. He has the
Don't defend it, Ness. Come on, don't defend it.
Vladimir Klitschko has it. Well, had it. I wonder who ended up with it now.
It doesn't matter. It's the IBO.
You guys are so disrespectful. Yo, Chris Eubank tweeted a picture and said, look, people said that no one respects this belt. Look at all the world title. Yo, even Mayweather had this belt.
Yeah, but the Eubanks, they've got this idea because when the dad won the WBO back then, it was a bullshit sanctioning body. No one cared about it. And after, when it becomes something that everyone fought for, it makes his dad look like a great champion. That's why they're trying to do with the IBO as well.
Well, this is interesting. This is how you know that some of the bigger people do, like Spencer Fearn does listen to the show. He just sent a message where I guess this has to be the UK, under sports and hobbies, there is Football Weekly, The Guardian, NSL Strength and Flexibility, The Football Ramble, and at number four is Ringside Toe-to-Toe Boxing Podcast.
Well, he's still talking shit because he said it's the most listened to, and that's number four.
Yeah, you read the same tweet that Spencer tweeted out?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just reading it too, but yo, 150,000 weekly. See, I don't get those statistics, but even if I divide mine, he's still killing it. Yeah, that would make it 600,000 a month.
Well, Ness, again, they're going through.
No, but listen,
UK filter. They're going through UK. No,
listen. I'm keeping it real though. This is still arguable, because remember we're on two separate platforms, so. With YouTube is a different story, but yo, this is big. Congratulations, Spence. Damn, I mean, you on Sky anyway. We not in competition with you. What are you talking about, Willie? Let me get to some other callers, man. Thank you for calling in. I'm going out to 905. Where's that at, Matt? I mean, isn't that your side of town? That's somewhere in Cali, right?
905. That's not my side of town, I think. 917 is. I think so.
No, 917 is New York. 905, where you at? Who's this?
It's your guy, Jay Steele, the all fella again. Yeah, I'm doing it up in Canada, just a little south of Toronto, the 416. That's where I'm at, you know what I mean? I called in a couple days ago before y'all called me two plugs. Well, you know what I mean? I'm plugging the show again, live and direct show. You know what I mean? Giving you all your local hip-hop, you know what I mean, in the 905, 416 area. About this whole fight, you know what I mean, with regards to Eubank and Quinlan. I'm kind of worried about Quinlan because I heard some type of interview where he was saying that he's coming to UK a week before the fight. Now, if he's from Australia, I think he needs a little bit more time to acclimatize himself with the whole time change, you know what I mean? So that's kind of worrying me. But as far as the eye test, the few videos I see on Quinlan, to me, he's more than a basic fighter, you know what I mean? When I compare him to, let's say, Jeff Horn, another Australian fighter, to me, Quinlan looks a little bit better. He looks a little bit like he has some fast hands. He throws combinations. He's a banger. And he can take a punch.
Well, now, call it. You just compare him to Jeff Horn, who's also a nobody. So I just want to point that out.
There's not much there, but he did knock out Daniel Gill in two rounds. You know what I mean? And for all those Triple G fans, people was loving the fact when he knocked out Daniel Gill in three rounds, and as well as Cotto. You know what I mean? People were bigging that up like a big accomplishment.
There's a difference between knocking out a shot fighter.
You know what I mean?
There's a difference between knocking out a shot fighter.
Fool out.
knocking out a shot fighter, knocking out a fighter who's still competitive.
A fighter. Cotto knocked out a shot fighter. Ain't nobody disparaging Cotto like they disparaging Quinlan.
Because we did that two years ago. We disparaged him 2 years ago.
You know how hard we went in? Well, at least myself. Maybe I wasn't on the show at this level of platform. But of course I did. Not only did Cotto fight his leftovers, he had a wager in him. So, of course, it was a cowardly move, and it wasn't the same thing.
And that's why I'm saying Julio beat Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. twice. Does that make him a better Mexican boxer of all time? No. Chavez Sr. is better. Just because he beat a shot fighter doesn't mean shit. Come on. We all know this.
I don't even understand what you guys are saying right now, Lake. I'm just saying that.
Kill him, Jay Steele. Kill him.
He should have just
knocked out Daniel Gill. Mm-hmm. Now Eubank is trying to use him as food or food for fodder. You know what I mean? My suspicion is Eubank might be like underestimating this guy. He might have a little bit more to bring to the table than we actually think. But I'm just saying, if Rendell Quinlan is listening right now, you know what I mean? If he's listening to the podcast, you need to get over to the UK a little bit earlier than a week before the fight. You know what I mean? If you actually trying to win, you know what I mean, and keep this so-called IBO.
He's not trying to win, Jay Steele. Let me get some other callers, but let me tell you, he's not trying to win, man. His quote like 2 days ago was that he didn't have the time to promote this fight, that the Eubanks were supposed to do that because his wife could go into labor at any time. That tells me he's not really training. Let's hope that he comes into this fight and gives it 100%. And this wasn't just, say, his retirement package, as we like to say around here. It's about that time, guys. We wanted to make this one short. We got Spencer Fearon on, and he gave us that insight that we were looking for into this fight and others. Gave us his thoughts on Anthony Joshua, gave us his thoughts, obviously, on Kell Brook, and put those numbers out there. Definitely something to strive for. Got to get those analytics together, man. That's about $600,000 a month they're doing over there. That's nice. I am your host, Nestor Gibbs. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO. If you are appreciating the spontaneous early morning, afternoon, or just extra content shows, definitely head on over to Patreon and you can support us there and see more exclusive content. I will be going to see Deontay Wilder, and I'm doing a Q&A for Patreon only. So definitely all my Patreons, put your questions in that post. Again, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO, and you can find a good doctor.
You can find me at BoxingMD1 on Twitter.
And the producer, Matthew.
You can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter.
Jesus Christ. I know I had a soundbite set up for that, and I forgot all about it. All right, ladies and gentlemen. See you. I don't know. Not next time or same time, right? So you need to subscribe to the channel or on iTunes so that you get those notifications anytime we go live. Later.